There's an island off of Nova Scotia where there appears to be some record of deposits of treasure made, gold, silver, religious objects, jewels, parchments, that have been deposited there beginning around 1000 AD by the Vikings, by the Templars, treasures that were taken from Italy, France, Great Britain, also plunder from Central America, the Mayans, the Aztecs, the Incas, and deposited on that island. And there are people, there are six people that have given their lives in trying to find that treasure. And there are, and I'm talking about unto death, and there are many, many more that have given their lives that have done nothing more than to search for that, and that's all that they've done throughout their life. You move further south, and off the southern Atlantic coast of Florida, there's a nickname for that area. It's called the Treasure Coast of Florida. Hundreds of shipwrecks have taken place there. Millions of dollars have been recovered. Billions, they estimate, still to be recovered. People, again, have given their lives physically and given their lives in the pursuit of that treasure. You go further south off the Dominican Republic, and plunder from Central America was loaded onto six different ships, and they came around, took on more supplies in the Dominican Republic, set sail, and did not realize, of course, back in the 1500s that a storm was coming, and five of those six ships went down. There are many hundreds of them more that went down also. And again, there are those that have tried to recover treasures, been millions found, still billions they expect to be found. But people have given their lives physically and given their lives in time to find those treasures. I ask this afternoon, are you a treasure hunter? And I'll tell you, in listening to some of these accounts of these treasure hunters, it's something that becomes addictive. They find one coin. They find one object made of silver or gold, and it just does nothing more but to spur them on and to keep trying to find more. It becomes addictive. And so I ask, are we treasure hunters? But not from the standpoint, of course, of treasure as far as the earthly treasure, but rather treasure that is from God. There is the treasure of wisdom. When we look over in Proverbs, the second chapter, verse 1 through 10, Solomon writes to his son, and as far as we have record, he only had one son. Of all the wives that he had and so forth, only one son was given to him. He says, "My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver," her, the personification of wisdom, "and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the paths of justice and preserves the way of saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity, and every good path. When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your ear." It is an exhortation that here Solomon gives to his son. And it is preserved for us as that same exhortation, and that is this wisdom that comes from God. And he likens it unto treasure, unto silver, unto gold. And he says that if you will treat it as such, if you will treat the wisdom that comes from God as such a treasure, such a precious thing, he says, then and only then will you have understanding, and you'll have justice and equity, and you'll know then the good path. There are so many in the world that just follow their own reasoning, their own understanding, their own wisdom. But the wisdom that is from above, of course, is first of all pure. We understand that by the writing of James. And what's interesting about this treasure, where if you think about the treasure hunters that I mentioned earlier, there's no promise that they're going to find anything. But here you have the true treasure from God of wisdom. And it goes along with an absolute fact, an absolute promise that it is attainable. And we see in James 1st chapter, verse 5 through 7, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all liberally. You can have that treasure of wisdom that comes from God. All it takes is the asking, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with nothing doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by wind. And let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. It's very interesting where if you look at these shipwrecks, you know, you might think it might be like the Titanic in every situation where it goes down in two pieces and there it lies at the bottom of the floor many fathoms deep and has been found. And it is pretty intact as far as the wreckage is concerned. It is identifiable, but the majority of the wrecks that go down into the sea, driven and tossed, are strewn many times over miles and miles and miles. And where if you think about those that search for it, they have to learn how to detect those wrecks, how to detect where the treasure is. And they do that because they recognize the value. And the same thing is true with us in looking at this treasure of wisdom. But not only wisdom, the treasure of the teachers, the inspired teachers that bring us God's word. We look over in 2 Corinthians 4, chapter verse 1 through 7. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart, but we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, it's veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves as bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. Here we have one of those treasures writing this about his work. His work as an inspired teacher of God. He says that he is. And those that did teach by inspiration, those that have left us God's word, the scriptures, they are treasures in earthen vessels. This ties in so well with what Paul says later on. Ephesians the 2nd chapter, verse 19 and 20. Now therefore you're no longer citizens and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. We look back and there's thanks that need to be given for men, the inspired writers of God's word, that determined no matter what life would throw at them, even if it was even unto death, they would still bring forth this treasure as treasures in presenting God's word to us and in the teaching that comes from them, from God's inspiration, from God's wisdom. And it is the way that we should view their teaching. Precious pearls of wisdom. Precious truths that are there. Greater than gold or silver as this earth can supply, because it comes from God, that inspired word. We also see the treasure of good works. When we look over in 1 Timothy 6, verse 17 through 19, Paul says, as for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous, ready to share, thus storing up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold on that which is truly life. There's two aspects to this. First of all, the treasure of good works, because it's directed from God. But also we see this, that in so doing, and that is working in God's way that he would have us to work, we are storing up treasure for ourselves. And I know that we read this and we say, those that are rich. Let me tell you what, this was written 2,000 years ago. And it was written in an area that was under the control of the Roman Empire at the time. and there weren't many mighty and rich of the time. And when we make application to this, we need to understand that no matter how meager we think our life is here on this earth as citizens of the United States, we're rich in comparison to others. And that there are good works that God expects from us because of that. And we need to enjoin ourselves in this if we want to store up treasure for ourselves from the treasure that God gives. And so the treasure of good works is included in this. Not only that, we see the fact of human riches versus spiritual riches when we think about this. Matthew 16:19-21, do not lay up for yourselves treasure upon earth where moth and rust does corrupt, where thieves break through and steal, but rather lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven where moth and rust does not corrupt, where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, for where your heart is, there is your treasure also. Reverse that around. The thought about that, of course, is that if we care more about the things of this life, we don't treasure the truth, riches from God. And that's what Jesus is teaching here in the Sermon on the Mount in this particular passage. We also see the treasure of good words. Matthew 12:33-37. Either make the tree good, Jesus said, and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. Call it what it is. That's what Jesus is saying. If the tree's bad, it's bad. Understand that? Call it that. If the tree is good, it's good, and call it that. Brood of vipers, and these are those that are rejecting God's word, how can you find being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart speaks forth good things. Evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you, for that every idle word men speak, they shall give an account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. If our words are just to flatter others, if our words are intended so that there's never anything that is ever said that would ever cut anyone to the heart, and we don't take those treasures of the wisdom of God from the teachers and the good works that they are to do, not only physically, but especially that which is spiritual, and make that application in our life as we see here in Matthew, the 12th chapter, we're not calling things as they are. And the true treasure is not there. We look at this from this standpoint. This treasure is for all to strive to attain. We should speak things that don't harm people, but yet still cut to the heart, because we recognize there is change that must take place in order for one to be a child of God. My brethren, James 3, chapter 1 and 2, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that you will receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body. And there's only one that lived unto perfection unto that, and that is Christ. And Christ still spoke strong words. But yet it wasn't with malice in mind. All of it, everything, even in Matthew 23, one of you scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, was still spoken from the standpoint of love, with the purpose of his teaching for those that needed to hear that which would cut them to the heart and bring them to repentance. And so the treasure of good words is something that we should value also. 2 Timothy 2:22-26, flee youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they gender strife. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. When we look at the admonition as given to Timothy here by Paul, remaining silent to those that need to hear the truth is not offering the pearls of wisdom, the riches of God to them, but it makes us satisfied then to leave them in poverty, spiritual poverty. It's not the purpose of the Christian. That's not the work being involved in that the Christian should be involved in. And then the treasure of good rule. The treasure of good rule from God. Matthew 13, chapter 44 through 46 has much to say about the kingdom. When you look at that word kingdom, basileia, it means rule. Not necessarily a physical kingdom whatsoever. but rather the rule of one that is king over a kingdom. And again, the kingdom of heaven, Jesus says, is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. First of all, what comes into play here is recognition of the true wealth, the true riches that come from God. And this is the lesson that Jesus is teaching in these two parables, the parable of the hidden treasure, one that is not hopefully is there, but is there and is found. And that individual sells everything, they give up everything that they have because they recognize where the true riches are. They know where the treasure is. And the same thing with the pearl. When we think about that as far as our application is current, the Word of God makes us more valuable than what we would be without God's Word directing us. In Philemon verses 10 and 11, I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, Paul writes, and whom I've begotten while in my chains. Once he was unprofitable to you, but now he's profitable to you and to me, and I will suggest also to the Lord, because he became a child of God. And that's what the rule of God will do for each and every one of us. It will make us better than what we were. Because instead of living for self, instead of looking for treasures of this earth, whether it be the wisdom of man or physical treasure, we look to God. We look to God for that wisdom and those pearls and, of course, that hidden treasure that we find when we go in and really be treasure hunters for the Lord and looking at what he has to say. In 2 Timothy 2, 19 and 20, nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands having this seal. This is the stamp of approval that God sees and puts upon those that are his. The Lord knows those who are his. Do you have that stamp of approval upon you? Or are you trying to have the stamp of approval of people around about you? Which is more valuable? Which is the true treasure? And here's the second part of that seal, that stamp of approval that says, let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. I'll not live for this world anymore. I'll not live for my own desires anymore. And so he says, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. And he goes on and says, if a man will cleanse himself of these, he's talking about that heart that is made up of less valuable material because it's not looking to the treasures and seeking the treasures that come from God. And so he says here, we need to cleanse ourselves of those things that are not unto honor, and rather show forth the honor and wearing the seal that God puts upon those that are his. And what an honor that is. And I will tell you, that seal is of great honor in and of itself. It's not a physical stamp. It's a recognition of fellowship that God has with his own. If we walk in the light as he is in light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. We see that in 1 John 1 and verse 7. And then the treasure, of course, of heaven. Matthew 19, verses 16 through 22. Now behold, one came and said to him, good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? So he said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter the inner life, keep the commandments. He's talking here about heaven. And this young man, I believe, went in already with a pre-understanding of himself. And an attitude concerning self is that there's really nothing more for me to add. But if there is one thing more, I want to hear about it. And no more than that, because I've done everything. Jesus answered and said, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The young man said, all these things I've kept from my youth. What do I still lack? And I'll suggest to you, at least in my understanding of this, is that he didn't expect for Jesus to reply anything else to him. He had already considered himself there, ready to receive heaven. Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect, go sell your treasure. The actual words are, go sell what you have and give to the poor. And you will have treasure in heaven. and come and follow me. Jesus's essence, in essence, is saying, you sell your treasure, what you hold dear, what you count really above God and about doing his will. You get rid of that. Come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. He wasn't willing to give up what he's acquired here upon this earth. He wasn't willing to give up the treasure that was here upon this earth, that he counted so dear, for the true treasure that was in heaven. He spoke well, maybe even at some aspect intended well, but he did not have the conviction to follow through because he wasn't interested in the true treasure that comes from God. The question then is this. Matthew 16, 24 through 27, Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Jesus, and we're going to stop there for just a moment. Whether you realize it or not, you're a treasure hunter. Each and every one of us are. There are things that we treasure up in this life. I want people to speak good of me, and we should treasure that up. A good name is valuable. And that, of course, is written by a man of wisdom. And we should want that. But it's not greater than having the good name before God. That's what's important. Let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow after me. Put aside those things that you treasure and treasure the things that are of Christ. For whosoever desires to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. That's the giving up of the things. That's the losing of the life here is not necessarily talking. It can come down to the point of physical life being lost. Even for the cause of Christ, that's been repeated over and over thousands of times here upon this earth. But when we put it in our application, we lay down the things that are important to us, the things that we treasure. Lay that down in order to find the true life that comes from God. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man came in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each one according to his works. We have a choice. As we live here upon this earth, there's going to be something that we count as a treasure. And the question is, do we count it above the treasure that is given from God? From the standpoint of wisdom, looking at the teaching of the teachers that were inspired, the good works that we are instructed to do, the good words that we are to speak that come from God, being part of God in God's fellowship through his rule in order to have heaven. Does heaven mean more to us than the here and now upon this earth? And so we see, will you be a treasure hunter seeking the unsearchable riches of Christ? Someone says, now that doesn't make sense. How can I seek that which is unsearchable? Notice what is said, Romans 11, verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Here it shows us the true value of the treasure that comes from God. That without him, and without him making known what his true treasures are, man would have no clue. And he would just live nothing more than a temporal life here upon this earth and then pass and then nothing more. But here we have the unsearchable riches that has been given for us to be made known, has been made known by God through his word. Ephesians 3 verses 8 through 12, to me who am less than the least of all saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. They wouldn't know. The Gentiles wouldn't know. The law was not given to them. They wouldn't know what the riches of Christ were. They would be unsearchable unless God's wisdom and will and understanding be made available to them. And to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages had been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers of the heavenly places. What the church is, of course, is the called out body, called out of the world from the riches that this world would provide, which will perish, that rust and moth corrupts, to that which is incorruptible. And then the church that he's talking about here, which is the manifold wisdom of God, it shows forth. It shows forth God's wisdom. He's not talking here about what is being taught at the church. He's talking about the church being the evidence of the wisdom of God. Those that are called out of the world, those that seek his word, those that learn from the inspired writers, those that hold all those things as treasure. He goes on and says, in verse 11, according to the eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. There's where the unsearchable riches are, what has been revealed through God's word. Oh, riches beyond compare. Elon Musk is right now considered to be the richest man on the face of the earth with billions of dollars. Not millions, billions of dollars. And unless he is a child of God, he is in poverty. But the ones that are in, that are children of God, far exceed his riches. No, they're not earthly, but they are spiritual, they are heavenly, which are laid to the account of those that have them to be the true riches that come from God. I ask this evening, once again, are you a treasure hunter? If you are, you'll open up the scriptures, you'll look at God's word, you'll have that direct you. You'll not listen to the wisdom of men. You'll not look for man's approval, but you'll look for God's approval. You'll speak words that are gracious and pure and truth to those ears that will hear. And to those ears that will hear, sometimes those words of graciousness and truth will cut them to the heart. And if they are of the good and honest heart and treasure things that are of God because of what you have said, being a treasure hunter and wanting to share, they will hear and they will then become children of God. We see that played out, starting with the first gospel sermon after Jesus died on the day of Pentecost. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that that same Jesus whom you crucified is both Lord and Christ. When they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what must we do? And Peter gave them instruction, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. 3,000 that day obeyed. Because they'd been cut to the heart with the gracious words, they found the treasure. It was presented to them. It was right there before them. They took part in it. A few days later, as we see in the fifth chapter of Acts, 2,000 more obeyed because they were cut to the heart. Sometimes the cutting to the heart led to death. We see that with Stephen. They were cut to the heart when they heard Stephen's words because they didn't seek the treasure that was from above. They sought their own treasure, and they stoned him. But Stephen, even in his death, looked to the treasure that he knew that he was presenting because he saw God in heaven and Jesus standing at his right hand. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. Lord, receive my spirit. Will Jesus receive our spirit because we're not laden with the treasures of this world, but rather because we are wearing the riches in our life, in our minds and in our hearts that come from him? If there are those that we can help in any way, we ask you to come as we stand and sing.